was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, Steve Moore, Mark Simone, Greg Stocker, Tom Langmire, Daryl Parks, this show is dedicated to you, ladies and gentlemen, to you. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, live on Sunday night. There's nothing else live. Do you know that there are some radio stations run by such incompetent people that they are running 20-year-old repeats of Art Bell? Art Bell, great talent, dead for 20 years. You listen to Art Bell, you know what you'll hear him say?
Well, you know, this morning on CNN, it was one of the most evil things ever to come into my trailer in the desert.
Oh, my God, what is wrong with you? This is a live radio show that talks about the things you and I think about, such as, geez, I was at the beach, I was at the lake, I was at the river, I was at the summer house with my significant other. I saw them in a swimsuit, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Severe weather throughout most of America. Now, here's Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Fixing broken window panes and then breaking them again. Killing hornets in a giant nest at the house.
And a two-day project that has turned into 2+ weeks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. 77 items stolen or not paid for. Self-checkout. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night. This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Cameras, strip club, pervert mayor. Details, later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Coming up in Florida stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Plus, you and I are going to talk to Keith Fons, who's in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. We're going to hear the biggest misconceptions the lower 48 has about Alaskans and the most amazing story of the year, which is, you're not going to believe this, there are still people who think it's okay to leave their babies in the backseat of the car and to leave their dogs in the car. How this continues to be a story, I don't know. I'm driving down the street. And I see something that's very disturbing to me. Now, it's instinctively disturbing because intellectually, if you said to me, is this all right? Is this okay? Should this be permitted? I'd say, well, of course, why not? But viscerally, it disturbs me. There are very few things. I have daughters. I have a current wife. There are very few things that I personally find troublesome that if a woman does them. Very few things. Rebecca Canner, Rosemary Furlong, you know this is true. Billy Datt's wife, you know this is true. There are very few things that I find personally disturbing. I find it disturbing about 20 years ago, there was this terrifying trend in hotels of hiring women bellhops, women to help you get to your room with suitcases, because I was always trained from birth, as any other decent man was, to help a woman carry something. You were trained to open a door, carry a suitcase. It's not a sexist thing. It's a physical thing. There are certain things that women are just inherently much better than men at. Much better. For example, demanding that you say, I'm sorry. Insisting on being right. These are things that women are much better at than men. However, there are a few things that women are not as good at, and they include carrying luggage to the room. my instincts, given to be my Jersey mom, is if I see a woman carrying a heavy load, my first instinct is to come up to her and say, may I help you? Therefore, for about a year and a half, at all the big hotel chains in America, there was some issue, and many of them hired women bellhops. Now, let me tell you about the discomfort of that. I come into a hotel off a plane, traveling all night. I stink. I'm wearing a suit for the past 15 hours. I'm a little vain about the way the suit looks, about the way the shoes are, and about the way I might smell. I probably am making it worse than it is, but just in case, I probably don't smell great. Don't get too close. If a young man, a college student, a senior, comes up to me and says, may I help you with your luggage, sir? Yes. Oh, thank goodness you're helping me with your luggage. Oh, thank God you're helping me. But if a woman in a bellcap uniform, an employee of the hotel, says, may I help you with your luggage? May I get you to your room? Well, it's 1:45 in the morning, and I've been traveling all day. And this woman comes up to me and says, may I help you with your luggage? Well, it's a lovely thought, but all my instincts are no. All my instincts are no, but then I had to let her do it. That was her job. I didn't want to be a sexist pig. She was earning money. I needed to be able to tip her. She needed to be able to pay her bills to get through school or to take care of the rent. Whatever it was, she was working. And I should have just, and I did. I always let a woman bellhop carry my stuff to the room, but it was uncomfortable. And at 1:45 in the morning, I was raised in such a way that I'm thinking it's uncomfortable for the woman to come to my hotel room door and to put something in my hotel room. I'm just like, I'm not comfortable with that. There are a couple other things that I'm uncomfortable with a woman doing. Not the things that many, stereotype pig guys would be uncomfortable with. Like, I'd much rather have a woman airline pilot. No problem. I'd much rather have a woman airline pilot than old Charlie, who may have been visiting the airport bar. No, I know they never drink before a flight. God forbid. But I saw something in the car the other day, driving around the neighborhood in the suburbs where I was never meant to live. God never meant me to live in the suburbs. I am not born to the suburbs. I am blessed with the fact that I live in a beautiful suburb against my will, but it's against my will because, as we've often discussed, no man living in his loft downtown with his groovy playboy life has ever said, I want to move to the suburbs. No man has ever said that. And yet the minute a guy gets married, there's a stopwatch in his wife's head. And the end of the stopwatch, when it's over ticking, that's when you're moving to the suburbs, buddy. You have no say. Even if she didn't discuss it before the marriage, even if it never came up in conversation over dinner, your wife planned from your engagement, from the second that ring went on, when you were going to move to the suburbs against your will. But I saw something that was really disturbing to me this week while driving around the suburbs, and I'm going to share that with you coming up in just seconds. I can't wait to get your reaction and feelings about it, because this is a call-in talk show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. I am live. The Gold Show, not live. The Equity in You Show, not live. This is live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the plane doctor.
You're not supposed to be on your phone. It's bad for the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a plane doctor? No? So shut the hell up.
You've heard the saying, go big or go home. Well, Victoria Marr, 44 years of age, of Boonville, New York, took that to heart. State police say that Rome, New York, reported larceny in progress. Marr had concealed 77 items in a reusable bag in her cart. She allegedly didn't pay for the items after using the self-checkout option at the Wally World. Now, the value of the items was $521.53. Couple of things just to keep in mind. When you go to Walmart and you feel like a thieving, realize they're watching you. Number two is that, you're probably going to get arrested. You may be able to get one item through, maybe two, but 77 items is way too much. Victoria Marr tried it and didn't quite work. Charged with petty larceny and issued an appearance ticket for the city of Rome later that month. So here's the deal. New York, they don't send you to jail. So she just got a ticket and gets to go show up to court. My guess is probably won't show up. Do yourself a favor. If you're going to steal through self-checkout, figure out a better way to do it. Generally speaking, if you get one of those jackets that has a lot of pockets on the inside, that may be a better shot. The reusable bag thing, probably not that much. And again, she went big, and well, she did go home. But maybe we'll go to jail. Victoria Marr, we salute you. For the people of Walmart, this is Vilo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Oh, my gosh. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. There are certain things that I am uncomfortable seeing a woman do. I'm uncomfortable seeing a woman carry my luggage to my hotel room. Instinctively, that's not okay. Strangely, I am uncomfortable with the woman behind the delicatessen counter making me a sandwich. How could she possibly know when I say, hey, and put on too much mayonnaise? How could she know what too much mayonnaise is? Whereas a beefy guy cutting up the beef, and I look at him and I say, hey, put on too much mayonnaise, he'll know exactly how much to put on. These are my problems. I'm not kidding you. However, I'm driving in the neighborhood this hot weekend, this terrifically hot weekend. And by the way, you know the cause of this heat, this incredible heat wave that we're having across the country. You know the cause of it, don't you? Summer. The cause is summer. My people, the scientists that I know, they refer to it as summer. I love it when I hear the very official, serious people, all the official people saying, and you know, this is the hottest summer we've had in 10,400 years. Look, they didn't take temperatures before 1885. That was when they started tracking temperatures. I promise you, during the Egyptian times when they were building the pyramids, or the Roman times when they were killing people in the Colosseum, I promise you, it was very hot. And they called that summer. This would be known as summer. I'm in the car. I'm going down the street, and there on a neighbor's lawn, I see something where I go, oh, I don't know about that. I see a wife, a woman, mowing the lawn. And my first thought is, where's your husband? Where's your beefy teen? Where's your teenage daughter? Why is mom mowing the lawn? Doesn't mom have enough to do supporting the drunk, monitoring for drugs with her teenagers, helping with homework, maybe cooking, maybe not? Some moms refuse to cook. My wife hasn't made anything in decades. She's made nothing in decades other than coffee. And all my instincts were, I'm uncomfortable seeing a woman, the woman of the house, mowing the lawn. Because when I was growing up, Dad mowed the lawn. And then when I reached the age of mowing, I mowed the lawn. And in other homes where those weren't options, you hired a high school kid or a college kid to mow the lawn. You saw the music video, Call Me Maybe. That's what you're supposed to have mowing your lawn. I was very uncomfortable seeing this. Now, across the street 2 weeks ago, there was a high school kid mowing the lawn. I'm not going to mow the lawn. Isn't going to happen. There are a number of reasons for that, mostly because I'm lazy. I make up health reasons. Well, I'm not allowed to push a certain amount. You know, I had this ablation surgery. You're not supposed to do it. It's not true. I could mow the lawn. But I'm not going to mow the lawn because I've reached the age of reason. I have hit the age of reason. And at this age, I'm not mowing the lawn. I looked at this kid across the street. I said, how much do you want to mow the lawn? And he says, well, I got to talk to my partner. He's mowing the back. I went, oh, it's two of you. Great. What do you think? He said, well, $25. I'm thinking, this is incredible. For $25, I can get these guys to mow the lawn, to clean it up, to pull the weeds for only $25. In many neighborhoods, it's much more. But in my neighborhood, where nobody knows how to tip or how to, what else don't they? Oh, they don't hire cleaning people. They don't hire nannies. I've never seen anything like this. They would fix the cars themselves, except you no longer can fix your own car. The transmission is all sealed. You have to take it to the dealer. It's all a crooked game. But I was very uncomfortable seeing this mom, the woman of the house, mowing the lawn. My instinct was, where is your husband? Where is your teenager? You should not be mowing the lawn. It just struck me as wrong. And I'm right about this. 800-844-WALT. 888. I have so many numbers to keep track of. You know, it's like the password problem. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Call me. How do you feel about the mom mowing the lawn? I just think it's wrong. And if it's a single mom living alone, or if it's a single woman living alone, I believe she should hire a beefy guy to mow the lawn. First of all, it might be entertaining to watch for the entire neighborhood, depending on the guy. Quarterback, more entertaining. Trevor Lawrence type, even more entertaining. But there's always the entertainment value in seeing a sweaty, college-aged young man mowing the lawn. But there's no entertainment value in seeing a woman who has given birth, who has all of these other obligations on an August day to go out and mow the lawn. I just don't think it's right. And like I said, I'm also uncomfortable with a woman making me sandwiches behind the deli counter. I know that sounds strange. And it's not working behind the deli counter. If she's cutting salami, bologna, cheese, wrapping it up to go home, no problem. But to make me a sandwich, I'm like, how would she really know about that? And then I was very uncomfortable, but this fad is over. I was very uncomfortable with a woman taking my luggage from me in hotels. A woman bell cap was an uncomfortable situation for me for a variety of etiquette reasons. 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter Sterling, and my number is 888-688-WALT. I don't think women should cut the lawn. I don't think there's anything good about it. I don't think it's appropriate. I think there are certain tasks that only a guy should do, certain tasks in a marriage that only the dad should do. You got teenage kids, boys or girls, they should be cutting the lawn. Mom should not be cutting the lawn. It just doesn't look right. It's like, no. My mother would never cut the lawn. There's no way in hell that my Jersey mom would have ever cut the lawn. But more importantly, no other mom in the neighborhood when I was growing up cut the lawn. This just wasn't something that moms did. It's not okay. How do you feel? 888-688-WALT. I have so much to do. We have Florida stories coming up for you in seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
I believe very strongly that it's just wrong for mom to cut the lawn. Dad should cut the lawn. Son should cut the lawn. I see women in the neighborhood. In fact, most of the time, I see a woman cutting the lawn, and it's just wrong. How do you feel? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Do not send me an email about this. It's a call and talk show. Call. That's why we're here. Plus, coming up in seconds, we'll get the report from Alaska and more Florida stories. It's a giant live radio show. It's what you've dreamed of. Why do they always talk about politics? I don't. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, has the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Fixing broken window panes and then breaking them again. Killing hornets in a giant nest at the house.
And a two-day project that has turned into 2+ weeks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Cameras, strip club, pervert mayor. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up in Florida stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida stories.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to go to the state capitol where Florida lawmakers are debating a bill that would ban left lane driving on interstates, is what it says on WPBF.com. But if you actually read the text of the bill, I know that sounds really dumb. Really, what's the point of even having a left lane if no one's ever allowed to drive in it? But they're trying to find the perfect wording that says you can only use the left lane while you're in the process of passing somebody, or you're about to make a left turn, setting up for a left exit or whatever. And so right now, the wording in the bill is kind of messed up because an amendment screwed something up. And it's funny, but that's not like the final version of a bill. But it is kind of some goofy thing that is very apropos and expected of the low expectations we have of our friends down in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We're going to Lakeland, Florida, and this is an interesting story because I've had doubts my entire life, and they just get relaxed by the day, and this is concerning UFOs. Are you a believer in UFOs? Because, you know, now the Pentagon admits they're real, and of course, if we're going to have UFOs around here, of course, it's going to be in Florida stories. But Lakeland, Florida, there's actually some good video. You know, everyone's got a video camera in their pocket now, and some enterprising Florida man in the Lakeland area gets some incredible video of these two fiery orbs. If you come watch the video version of Florida Stories, you'll see it. But there is no great explanation for this. And the weird part is there's just absolutely no sound. These things aren't making any sound. You can hear the Florida guy talking, and you can hear some ambient noise of like birds and the wind blowing through the leaves, but the balls are moving in a way that cannot be explained by drones or helicopters or airplanes. So unidentified Florida objects, Florida stories, seems like a pretty obvious match. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Oh, even though I don't want to be social, we have all sorts of social media. The Facebook page is Walter Sterling. The Twitter account, or now the X account, is Walter M. Sterling. Follow me on this. That's how you're going to keep up with me at all times, 24 hours a day. I know that's your goal. Walter M. Sterling, Twitter, or X. Email, WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail, because no company other than Google has been willing to give me an email address. I worked for CBS. I started doing this show at CBS. They refused to give me a CBS.com email. I worked for this. I did the show at Odyssey. They refused to give me one. I worked for Westwood One, and they refused not only to not give me an email, but to support it, to support the show. They barely supported the show. What? Actually, you won't believe this. Actually, there was an executive at Westwood One whose job was to promote my show to the industry, was to explain to radio stations why taking this show, this national radio show that doesn't yell about politics, the only show in American radio that doesn't scream at the politicians, because I don't know, maybe there's other stuff to talk about, like the fact that no woman should be mowing the lawn. No woman should be, in fact, in the marital vows, it should be included that the husband says, and I accept the fact that I will always mow the lawn whenever you tell me to. No woman should be out there in July heat mowing the lawn. That's just wrong. You got kids. You got college students nearby. Maybe you got a husband. They should be mowing the lawn. No woman should be mowing the lawn. And these companies refuse to give me an email address. You know, because you have to be an employee. Well, I'm not stupid enough to be an employee. I understand how freelance taxes work. I understand that if I work freelance, there's a longer list of things that I can legally deduct. So I do. That's why I do it. You want to give me an email address? No, you know. Okay, so you're putting my show on your 50,000-watt radio station, on your Class C FM station, KMBZ FM in Kansas City. You're putting me on those stations, but you don't you trust what's going to come out of my mouth and out of your speakers, but you don't trust me with an email address? Is that my understanding here?
Well, you know, it's Sarbanes-Oxley. Sarbanes-Oxley.
Okay, more companies and more entrepreneurs and more people trying to get into any industry have been screwed up by Sarbanes-Oxley laws. It is the worst, dumbest law ever. Because the way most people get into most industries is they hang around. They get their way into the office, into the factory, on the loading dock. They hang around. That's how we apprentice in America. We hang around. It's not scheduled. Even if it's a union job, it isn't a formal apprenticeship usually. We hang around. Sarbanes-Oxley has ended hanging around. A kid today cannot walk into a radio station, especially one in a high-rise building, cannot just walk into the station and hang around. Doesn't happen. And that's wrong. It also means that I don't have a corporate email address. I have to go WalterMSterling@gmail.com. How insane is that? Why am I promoting Google when I'm on Odyssey stations, iHeart stations, Cumulus stations? Yes, it's true. I'm on the Mark Simone has an iHeart email, but I don't. Yet I'm on iHeart radio stations. It makes no sense. Anyway, 888-688-WALT. I don't think women should be cutting the lawn. I think it should be in the marital vows, where the guy has to say, and you will never have to cut the lawn, and you'll never have to scrub a floor. I believe that that's the right and the dignity that any young woman has the right to expect from their husband, that that guy is going to mow the lawn, and he's going to scrub the floor and take out the garbage. I think that's enough mandatory actions on the part of the husband. How'd it go this weekend? Did you go to the beach? Were you at the river? Were you forced to go to a picnic? Because no man wants to do a picnic. It's interesting that all of these outdoor activities always involve the guy doing more work. It always involves a man setting up a barbecue, taking out the coals, putting is it cooked long enough? Are you sure it's cooked long enough? Has it been cooked long enough? Are you sure? Are you sure it's ready? I mean, rather than thank you for cooking on the barbecue, all the guy gets to hear is, are you sure it's been cooked long enough? Are you sure? Are you sure? These are questions that we should review with Keith Fonz, who actually lives in Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska. Coming up in just seconds. Welcome. It's a live radio show on Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
888-688-WALT, a live radio show on Sunday night. There's no other live radio show on Sunday night. Why? Well, because most broadcasters are too cheap. They're just too cheap. And most networks don't offer anything live on Sunday night, but this one does, the Talk Media Network. Thank you, Josh Lang. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keith Fonz, I have questions about being in Alaska, about being at North Pole, Alaska. Keith, do you believe that women should cut the lawn, or do you believe that a proper husband or proper teenage children should be cutting the lawn for mom?
I believe the kids should. Like, in our family, our 10-year-old son, that's his favorite thing to do is go out and cut our lawn.
Do you pay him for it?
Yep, definitely.
Good question. What do you think is a fair price?
For our little yard, for him wanting to do it, I usually pay him $20-$30.
Yeah. That it's a good way for him to earn some allowance money. It's a good way for you to get to, but I would never let my wife cut the lawn. I'm so shocked. I was driving around my fancy neighborhood, fancy only because it's in the state of Ohio, and that means that everything's almost free anyway. And I'm looking around. I'm like, there are all these moms cutting the lawn. In fact, I didn't see one husband. I didn't see one beefy teenage guy cutting the lawn. It was all these moms. And I just said, you know, this is just not right. I was very disturbed by this. Now, you live in Alaska. You've lived there all your life. You're a native.
No, we've been here almost 7 years now.
Where'd you move there from, Keith Fonz? Where'd you move from?
From Lincoln City, Oregon, on the coast.
Therefore, you have... Oh, it's beautiful there. Oh, my gosh, is it beautiful there. No, really. So, therefore, you have this interesting perspective. What misnomers, what myths does the lower 48 have about Alaska that's just wrong? What does the lower 48 have about Alaska that's just wrong?
Well, I've heard quite a few things since I've been up here from people that come up here to visit. And, for instance, a lot of people in the lower 48 don't realize Alaska is actually part of the country. And not only that, they think that everybody here lives in igloos. And they're surprised that we actually have real normal houses here.
You don't live in igloos?
Nope. We don't. We got our house that we bought about a year ago. It's a nice log home.
But you, what did I ask you last week? I asked you about something last week, and it surprised me that you, oh, yeah, but you don't have, like, Good Humor trucks.
You mean, like, ice cream trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't see them around here.
Is that because of the weather?
Well, you would think in the summertime here, like we hit 80s, 90s degrees in the winter, in the summer here, and you would figure somebody would be out hustling in the neighborhoods, making good money selling ice cream, but you don't. You know, we've even thought about doing it ourselves because nobody does it.
Why don't you do it? That sounds like a really good idea. Why don't you do it?
We've actually been in the process of looking for, like, a food cart to be able to do, like, ice cream during the summer and then do something hot during the winter.
Are you upset that Taylor Swift has not booked a concert in Fairbanks or even Anchorage?
Personally, that doesn't bother me, but I'm sure a lot of fans here in Alaska wouldn't mind seeing her in person.
Right. Now, also in Alaska... pretty much all we know of Alaska is from Ice Road Truckers, the show Ice Road Truckers. Do you watch that show? Have you seen that show?
I've seen a few episodes. I can't say I'm a diehard fan and watched every episode, but I've watched my share of them.
One of the interesting things about Ice Road Truckers is that whenever they show a shot from under the ice to the tires above the ice, it's always the same shot. They don't keep reshooting different trucks. It's always the same shot. Does this look vaguely true to you? Because they're always about to break through the ice. No matter what episode, they're always about to break through the ice, or they have to get to this particular town by a particular date, or everybody in the town will starve. Have you noticed that?
I have, and that's actually pretty true here. You know, like in the winter, there's a lot of villages here that you can only get in going over water on ice roads or snowmobiles or actually using dogs and sled. And a lot of cases, that's the only way to get to a lot of the villages in Alaska. Like most of them are off the road system.
Well, how critical is it? I mean, if the truck doesn't show up, are they going to starve or are airplanes going to come in? Well, what are they going to do? They're not going to let people starve just because one truck had a flat?
You'd be surprised. You know, food here does get limited in a lot of the villages, and that's why the prices of food is really expensive. And even in our town here, we're right outside the second largest city in Alaska, and our stores, our grocery stores, are having issues at the moment even getting food from the barge into our town. There are not enough truck drivers. There's a lot of our food comes from, like, Seattle, like the lower 48. And if there is an issue, if there's an issue between there and here, we suffer for it.
It's amazing to me. Now, how much is a gallon of milk today in Alaska, Keith Fonz?
Where I live, it's about $4 a gallon. It can be up to $10 to $15 in local villages.
$15 for a gallon of milk. How about a gallon of gas?
That's another story. That is getting outrageous here. Like, we went down 9 cents.
No, just give me a price. I need a price.
Right now we're at $4.50 a gallon.
This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Can you believe it? The Price is Right has a brand new set. Randy West will have a complete details about the brand new set on the show that you watch the most. Plus an update from Congress about the UFO hearings. All of this and you coming up in seconds. Now, Dr. Dave Iser with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Fixing broken window panes and then breaking them again. Killing hornets in a giant nest at the house.
And a two-day project that has turned into 2+ weeks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Cameras, strip club, pervert mayor. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Barbie parties are a big deal.
I had a Barbie-themed birthday party when I was 5.
Julia told her story on TikTok.
My parents hired an adult entertainer for my 5th birthday party.
They did what?
By accident.
How did that happen?
My mom said that she hired someone from the phone book.
A phone book? Well, it's too complicated to explain.
Back then, you just were like, oh, look in the phone book for entertainer.
Mom let her fingers do the walking.
There was one for Barbie, and that was the theme. Perfect.
So what was phone book Barbie like?
The woman shows up, and she is a stripper.
Well, that's one way to get dads interested in Barbie.
She played along. She did not take off her clothes. I followed her around, thrilled that Barbie came to my birthday party.
Wow.
And all of the parents there had a really good laugh.
This was very real.
I swear this happened.
Just ask Dad. He'll remember every detail. Alan, First News 98.1, KMBZ.
It's a very interesting phenomenon that the rest of the country is referred to as a flyover state by the denizens of New York and Los Angeles. I lived most of my life in Manhattan. And then, for a variety of epic economic reasons, I moved to Ohio. Just like Geraldo Rivera lives in Shaker Heights, Ohio, because his wife went to Shaker High. And everybody who went to Shaker High are salmon. They all come back to spawn. My wife went to Shaker High. At some point in my life, we were going to move back to Shaker High, even though there's nothing about Shaker Heights that I find in any way, shape, or form compelling. Very pretty. Sort of as a set. If you needed a set for the suburbs, this would be perfect. But there's really no reason for it to exist. It's a city that used to be. I say, you know, is there any diner? Well, there used to be one over here at the end of this street. What about an all-night diner? Well, there used to be one at the end of this street. What about a newsstand? Oh, there used to be one over here. What about a real bagel shop? Yeah, there used to be one. Okay, there's nothing left. Geraldo, I'm sure, finds the same thing, except the difference is Geraldo can afford to fly to Manhattan whenever he wants. But the thing I have learned that's important, I learned in Parma, Ohio, which is right nearby. It's where I took my two oldest daughters for dance class. I love taking them to dance class because, first of all, it was near an almost decent pizzeria, but more importantly, it's the best collaborative event for these kids. It's the best thing. Young men have Little League, and young women often have dance class. There are young men in the dance class, but mostly it's young women. And it's collaborative. It's great exercise. It's great coordination. It's teamwork. They learned a great deal. I'm very proud that they became competitive dancers. But I learned something more important. I was sitting outside of the dance class in the dance school with other parents, and these parents largely lived in Parma, Independence, Twinsburg, Manor, Shaker Heights, Cleveland, real Midwesterners. And I spent a lot of time talking to them, and I found out something very interesting. The most important thing I found out was that in the 2016 election, I knew exactly who was going to win. Because while all the pundits were saying, you know, Hillary this and Hillary that, no, there was no way in hell that Hillary was going to win. Because I knew what the moms and dads of Parma were saying. And when I asked the UAW workers, these guys had been in the UAW for 20 years, 30 years. When I talked to them and I said, so I guess the union guy, you're going to vote for the Democrat. No. What do you mean no? No, we're not going to vote for her. Wait a minute. You're union guys for 20 years. Why aren't you going to vote for her? We don't trust her. That was it. Couldn't elaborate anymore. We don't trust her. Okay. Then I asked the moms. I said, well, do you mind asking who you're going to vote for? Are you going to vote for Hillary? No. Well, why aren't you going to vote for her? She went back to him. I said, what? She went back to him. Now, in the code, the wife code of Midwest moms, Midwest wives, it goes like this. The husband can go bowling all night, can stay out drunk, go to two games in a row, play golf all day Saturday and Sunday, hang out with his guy friends at the bar, no problem. All behaviors tolerated. Forget the school play, forget the soccer match, forget the baseball, all of that's tolerated. But if that husband cheats, that's it. If that husband cheats on her, that's the end of that relationship. The moms of the Midwest could not begin to understand why she would go back to Bill Clinton, because she's a woman of means, she's educated, she's smart. And worse than that, he didn't have an affair. He had dozens of affairs and publicly humiliated this brilliant, intelligent woman, humiliated her. And she put up with that. They didn't trust that dynamic for one second because it's the one thing they wouldn't do. Now, how did I know this? Why did I know what all the fancy researchers and all the pundits didn't know? Well, because I actually talked to these people, and I knew something very important, which seems to have eluded my friends in New York City and in Boston and in Los Angeles, which is the people I was talking to in Parma, Ohio, all had jobs, all had neat, tidy, beautiful homes, knew where their kids were, knew where their spouse was, took care of themselves. These were not deplorables. These were Americans who were proud.
The New York Times experienced a temporary moment of clarity. Columnist David Brooks is asking, What if we're the bad guys here? Humility finally arrived at the New York Times, and we're not going to mock them for it. We're actually encouraged by their ability to step into someone else's shoes for once. The professional class is finding itself wondering, maybe the Texas oil worker isn't a bigot. Maybe the Ohio truck driver with a Trump bumper sticker just likes his trade policies. What if the deplorable store clerk in Arkansas is tired of being robbed?
And that's it. It wasn't about being stupid. In fact, it was about survival. It was about, you know, not wasting money on taxes. It was about making sure the kid had a good education. But mostly it was about freedom. It was about freedom from government interference, because the thing that they saw, all of these people, my friends in the Midwest, saw immediately in Donald Trump was, here was a guy who was one of them. He was an intellectual elite. He went to an Ivy League school. He has an MBA. He's incredibly wealthy. All of those people who now say they hate him were very happy to accept his hospitality on his golf course in his hotels. And he turned against them. He said, wait a minute, you're a bunch of phonies. I care about America. And he does. I care about America. And he does. And that's what my friends in Parma and Twinsburg and Independence and Menor and Medina, that's what they saw. They saw that, and they heard him bashing the very things that they'd been waiting somebody to say. And now, finally, last week, the New York Times wrote an editorial saying, maybe we were wrong, as if, you know, every New York Times reader is the same person. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. I got a phone number at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Cara Delevingne.
Because it comes from a place of deep insecurity. Like, ever since I was a kid, I was like, I want to have a boob job. My boobs are uneven. You know, I don't like my nose, or like different things.
It was a typical evening at Bella's Strip Club in Florida. Drinks flowing from the chic white bar top and customers ogling booties under the stage lights. That's when the police department came in with a local TV reporter and cameraman in tow. In a federal lawsuit, the club says that a dozen officers set up in tactical equipment, bulletproof vests, ski masks, swarmed through, startling the dancers, those poor damsels who were in various stages of undress. Despite the made-for-TV buildup and claims of human trafficking, no one bothered to obtain a warrant for this raid 4 years ago. According to lawsuits, officers allegedly took it upon themselves to rifle through the premises while America's TV reporter offered a play-by-play in a tactical vest with the word police inscribed. No evidence of underage dancers or human trafficking. It was just the good gals trying to go out and make a living. The man who owns the club, James Tunador, recognized one of the cops as a childhood pal whose father ran a karate school near City Hall. He asked what was going on and why his club was being targeted, and the cop said, yeah, sorry, man, this came from the big boss. The big boss? The mayor! Yeah, the mayor. Carlos Hernandez. So a couple of things. Yeah, human trafficking does happen at your exotic dancing emporiums. But most of these places are wonderful businesses that contribute to the economy. Support these ladies. Looks like the police department here can be paying out a little money to fellas. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Ann Nupp. And Judith J.G., Midnight Misfits, you don't fit in. Coming up in about 40 minutes, I'm going to have a secret message for you, Midnight Misfits, that you can only decode with your Midnight Misfit decoder card. How do you get something like that? I will tell you. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. That's our website, waltersterlingshow.com, created by Lee Harris and James Copeland. They created this website for me. Did you hear what I said? A nominee for the American National Radio Hall of Fame actually created our website, waltersterlingshow.com. Go there and click Midnight Misfit. the tab at the top, and there you'll be able to instantly download the Midnight Misfit Decoder card. You can print it out. It's free. It's instant. And I will have a secret message just for you coming up in about 40 minutes. And in about 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes, you and I are going to talk to Randy West, who will reveal to us what the new Price is Right set looks like. Oh, my gosh. Plus an update on the luxury strike, the AFTRINs, the Academy of Federation Television and Radio Artists in Los Angeles, who are picketing for more craft services. I'll tell you, it's an exciting show. I live in Ohio. It's difficult for me to admit that, but I lived most of my life in Manhattan. I'm very clear about the differences, and there are great and decent people in Manhattan, and they're great and decent people in Ohio, but it would be good if they studied each other a little more. Because what my friends in Manhattan and Los Angeles don't seem to understand is that, for example, Parma, Ohio is not a soot-covered, nasty little town. It is a beautiful town with immaculate lawns and beautiful houses and two Walmarts, which really is the sign of happiness. And these are premium Walmarts. These are the Walmarts where everything is actually stocked. There are no shootings at midnight. There are no babies screaming at 11:45, and there are no lines. That these are so well managed. There's an empty cashier. That never happens to me at my Walmart, which is a dangerous place. But more importantly, I sit with the moms and the dads at dance class, where my oldest two daughters go to learn ballet and learn competitive dancing. And it has really shaped them. These are collaborative classes. It's not like Dance Mom. They're not fighting with each other. They are working together to win ribbons and awards and prizes and money. And it's terrific. It's a great experience. Plus, it's better than gym. They're not. My kids cut gym. They were born to cut gym. I was born to cut gym. I knew every trick in the book to not go to gym. There's no way I'm climbing a rope. I never climbed a rope. It's not possible. It's not going to be happening. But I talked to the other parents, and here's what I know. I know that Frank, right after he's done sitting there for 3 hours watching his daughter dance, he's going to go to his father's house. His father's 90 years old and not firm, not doing well, and he's going to sit with his father and read him the newspaper, because in the stroke, his father lost the ability to read the newspaper. Everything else is fine, but he can't read. Frank's going to go there, as he does every day, to read Dad the newspaper and then go home, enjoy his dinner, sit with his kids. Oh, you need help with your homework, Susie? I'll help you with your homework. And be a dad. And then we call her the real mom. There's a real mom who's got two daughters. These are tough daughters. They're highly competitive. And she's sitting there crocheting. And when something comes up where the daughter has to go to an appointment or a competition or has to get a test in, she opens up this calendar book that's marked with different codes. And she keeps track of each kid with the colors in there. And she'll write down homework due on the 28th, paper due on the 29th, competition on the 8th. She writes in everything calmly, matter-of-factly, puts it back into her purse, but she knows everything those kids are going to do and have to do, and she's ready to help. And then there's my favorite, John, who's a born salesman. And he comes in always happy, always with a big smile, and he taught me something about being a great salesman, which is that he has extra words. I don't have extra words in real life. These are all my extra words. I save them for you. Or as my wife says, are you doing your show now? Like if I'm walking around the house, I say, well, hey, how come you don't listen to me on Sunday nights? Because I hear your show all week. I hear it all week. But John, the salesman, he'll walk into this dance class in Parma, Ohio, and he'll look around and go, hey, Walt, how you doing? How's it going? How's your daughter, Meredith? How's she feeling? And gee, we never see your wife. That's all before I've answered anything. He has extra words. He's going to say words until it hooks in my mind to something that I need to answer, because he's a born salesman. He's throwing out hooks. He's throwing chum in the social water until I answer something. That's who he is. and his wife never comes. He spends the time at the dance class watching his daughter, making sure she gets picked up and taken home safely, and make sure there's an auxiliary. If something were to happen to him, if he got stuck at work, because he's not going to get stuck in the traffic, there is no traffic, but if he gets stuck at work, who's going to pick her up? And he makes sure he has one, two friends who he can call, who he feels confident can take her home. Because he's a real dad, and there's the real moms, and they didn't trust her. They voted for Trump because they didn't trust her. That's the flyover states. That's Parma, Ohio. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
All right, Randy West will have a complete report for us on the new set of The Price is Right. Plus, I'm going to reveal to you a secret about Wheel of Fortune and The Price is Right that Randy will be able to fill us in on. It's a secret you didn't know about. It's absolutely shocking. That's coming up in just seconds. And now, to prove it's not global warming, Dr. Dave Otzer.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Fixing broken window panes and then breaking them again. Killing hornets in a giant nest at the house.
And a two-day project that has turned into 2+ weeks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Randy West is a powerful broadcasting performer in Los Angeles. I would say that he is the king of Los Angeles broadcasters, because no matter who is having their picture taken, there's Randy West with them. And he has written a spectacular book. Randy, let's start with the most important thing. Name your book.
TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies, a collection of outrageous stories from backstage, all true, all vetted. What goes on behind the screen is wilder than anything that ever appears on your screen.
The big news for you and me is the fact that The Price is Right is in production again, starting to be in production, and has a new set. Could you please describe the set to us?
Well, it all started at Television City in 1972. CBS sold the facility.
Hello?
The Price is Right lost all that free rent. They took up a studio. They took up storage. They took up a parking garage for all the cars they give away. They had a warehouse. All of this real estate now was going to have to be paid for in rent to the new owners of the property. So bing, bang, boom, they moved out. They've got partial ownership of a new studio in Glendale, and they've recreated as best they can the iconic set that we've looked at for 51 years. This is the 52nd season that just started taping. And it's going to look very similar if you got one eye closed and macular degeneration, but it's going to be very different for the fans who know it very well. If you go down to the show, your chances of being called to come on down have improved, because there's no longer 330 seats. They're down to 174, which means, hey, if you're in the audience, you got a better chance of being selected. But,
I thought,
for the most part, they're going to kind of keep the show the same as best they can. The dimensions are a little bit different. The seats aren't sunken like they were below the stage level, like a theater. Folks who know the show will see a difference.
But on The Price is Right, the thing that surprises me most about the new set is that it has fewer seats. I would have figured they would have taken this opportunity to have more seats. Were you surprised about that?
Oh, no. Not at all, because the dirty secret is tickets alone don't fill the 330 seats they had, that they reduced to 300 seats. because they wanted to pay less for seat fillers. That's right. When you put an audience on camera for the whole show, if there's empty seats, boy, it looks like a cheap production and nobody wants to be there. So they've been paying audiences for years to fill the empty seats. Now going down from 330 to 300, now to 174, their hope is that they won't have to pay any seat fillers. They'll be able to fill the house with tickets and folks who are visiting from out of town.
I figured that shows like Jeopardy or Password or $25,000, I figured they had to pay seat fillers. I never thought The Price is Right had to pay seat fillers because, gee, I could win.
Yeah, well, television is no longer a special thing. Folks have their own video cameras. They see shows. People come to town. They don't want to spend hours and hours in line being interviewed, sitting or standing around. They'd rather go to Disneyland or wherever. So the seats haven't filled since Bob Barker was there, and that's about 15 years ago.
Now, there's a secret revenue stream, a secret audience engagement that The Price is Right and Wheel of Fortune and maybe other game shows participate in that I only learned about in Bob Barker's autobiography, which is that on the weekends, these shows hit the road. There's a road show for The Price is Right and a road show for Wheel of Fortune. Now, the road show for Wheel of Fortune allegedly is to screen and audition potential guests for the real show. And The Price is Right has a game show that goes on the road, a trailer, there's a host. But I was most stunned, first of all, that this exists. Secondly, that in his book, Barker says he didn't do it in New York and L.A. because the advertising to promote the show was too expensive. I didn't believe that for one second. I thought the reason he didn't do it in L.A. and New York because he was on some level vaguely embarrassed. But I was stunned that he did it himself. Was he making a lot of money by going on the road on the weekends and doing The Price is Right in Kansas City?
Okay, let's go way back now. Bob Barker never went on the road with The Price is Right live. He used to do his own show called The Fun and Games Show, which was like Truth or Consequences and a little bit of Price is Right. And that was his show. He owned that and made all the money from it. The Price is Right live started in 2003. I was doing The Price is Right show on CBS and was approached to take the road show instead of staying at CBS. There were some political reasons why that was a good move for me. So in 2003, 2004, and up until this year, I've been on the road now and then, sometimes in Vegas, sometimes in Atlantic City, sometimes in Kansas City, sometimes in Shreveport. We've been all over with The Price is Right Live, doing one-nighters and residences since 2003, 2004. That's 20 years, just about. And I've been with that show on and off all of that time. Bob Barker had no piece of that and never appeared in it. It's a separate profit generation for Fremantle Media that owns The Price is Right. That was so profitable that Wheel of Fortune, Sony, hired the same company, or the same principals, let's put it that way, same people with a different company name, to do Wheel of Fortune live. And they called me, and I did one of the first weeks of the show down in Atlanta and through Richmond, Virginia, and a suite through that part of the country. Wheel of Fortune live started, about 6-7 months ago, and they are taking off for the summer, and we'll be back in the fall on the road again. So this is a new revenue stream, but for the corporate entity, not for Bob Barker or the Pat Sajak or anyone else.
But the production company for these shows is a $1 billion company. What this is nickels and dimes on the weekend, or am I wrong?
Oh, you are wrong. I remember standing on the stage at the Atlanta Fox Theater. Any of your folks down who are listening near Atlanta or have been to the Fox Theater knows that it seats 5,000 people. Now, I was standing on stage. I do a 20-minute warm-up before the show starts. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself while I'm performing, wow, look at this huge house. 5,000 seats is what they told me this is. It's massive. And then I started thinking about $50 a ticket. And while I'm performing, it's hard to do math while you're thinking of two other things. But I'm thinking, well, that's a lot of money. $50. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do the math. I thought it was $25,000. It's $250,000 per performance. $50 times 5,000 seats is $250,000. Now, we give away prizes. We have salary. We have logistics of moving an 18-wheeler with all the props and all that. But it doesn't cost us $250,000 per performance. And it's not nickels and dimes. It's a huge profit center.
All right. Randy West is our friend in Los Angeles who has secrets about all the favorite shows, all of our favorite shows, and he's willing to talk about the game shows, and he's proud of them, as am I. It's amazing to me how shows like Entertainment Tonight and Hard Copy, they all ignore the shows that we actually watch. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to get the update from the picket lines in Los Angeles of the performers and the writers and how that affects you and me. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables. Get Shales negotiating on the wire.
All right, good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am live, and you and I are talking to Randy West. Who is Randy West? Randy is the most powerful man in Hollywood. He is friends with everybody. And the thing about Hollywood is currency is measured by friendship. How friendly are you with people? I swear, he has access to every set, every show, every star. I have never seen anything like it. Randy, I have a question for you about the picket line of the rich people. But first, what's the name of your book?
TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies. You have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. If you did, you'd never watch TV the same way again. Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies, TV Inside Out.
By Randy West. Randy, the picket line, have you walked the picket line, the after picket line? Have you visited it? Have you visited it? Who have you seen? Name drop, please.
I walk. We walk 5 days a week. I'm out there about 4 days because I have other issues to be attending to. But I get out there every morning as best I can. And there are thousands of us. Thousands of us. It's unbelievable. It's like Woodstock without music because it's just a load of people who love each other and are unified. Then we were trying to fight the Vietnam War at Woodstock. Now we're trying to fight the producers. We march in front of Warner Brothers where the CEO makes $87,000 a day because he made $480 million in the last 5 years. His name is Zaslav. $87,000 a day. And they want to nickel and dime us. They're doing that with the writers, and now they're doing it with us. It's unbelievable, the nickel and diming that they're doing. It's insane. And I'll tell you what's even more insane. We marched at Universal on Friday. Now, Universal has been somehow exempt from our picketing because they said, oh, the sidewalk needs repair. They ripped up the sidewalk. And they also took down all the shade trees so that when we do come back, there'll be no shade. We'll be in the summer sun. Well, what happened with the sidewalk? Well, it really didn't need repair. They still have it closed. They have it fenced off. You can't walk in front of Universal. So SAG-AFTRA said, wait a minute, we have a right to walk in public property here, the sidewalk. The Universal doesn't own that. The Universal didn't want to repair and open up the sidewalk. So you know what? We marched in the street. L.A. gave us the traffic people and the cones and the parking enforcement people. We had two lanes of Lancashire Boulevard for us to march on. So Universal is dead set against marching in front of their property. Why? Because they're not in the movie business. They're in the tour business. They have a theme park, Universal Tours, and they wanted to keep us from blocking anybody who's doesn't want to cross a picket line, which is many people in this world. And why do they want to do that? Because the tour makes more money than the movies. More money. Let me do the math for you. $110 to get into the Universal Tour. They do 60,000 people during the summer a day. $110,000 times 60,000. $110 times 60,000 people is over $6 million a day gross. $6 million. That's why they don't want SAG-AFTRA or the Writers Guild marching there. That's why they broke up the sidewalk. You'd pound the sidewalk to bits, too, if it was going to cost you $6 million a day. Well, we got to march in the street. And so there, take that, Universal. It's petty, it's ridiculous, it's silly. As far as people who's marching, my goodness gracious, Ben Affleck Adam Sandler. And these guys are producers as well, but they're out there, along with Jeff Bridges. I marched with Jeff for a couple of hours. A lot of folks that you may or may not know from classic TV. You know, Barry Livingston was on My Three Sons. There's a lot of folks on current shows that I don't know, but other folks that are marching with, oh, I worked with him last year, and oh, that's so-and-so from such-and-such a show. There's a lot of folks out there who are familiar faces and names, and whether they're making big money or not, they support the effort, because you can no longer make a living as an actor in this town. What does he mean by that? Well, salaries have been reduced. The number of episodes have been drastically reduced. It used to be 20, 22, 24 episodes for a season. Now it's down to 8 and 10, maybe 12 on streaming shows. Streaming residuals are not the same as residuals from broadcast television. They're a tiny fraction of it. You can't make a living. What am I saying by that? Do you believe that? Well, listen to this. In order to get SAG-AFTRA medical coverage, you have to make just short of $27,000 a year. 87% of the membership of SAG-AFTRA does not qualify for the medical coverage of under $27,000 a year of gross earnings. From acting, 87% of the membership does not make a living wage. They're below the poverty line at less than $27,000 a year. So they're all holding other jobs. That's why you go to a restaurant, every waiter who comes to your table is a friggin' actor.
Well,
you know, someone says, I'm an actor, I say, what restaurant?
The great thing about actors being waiters is your waiters now have the best hair you've ever seen in your life. All right,
we have the best hair and the best teeth of every union in town.
Unbelievable. There's Randy West. He's our friend in Hollywood. I hope we get to talk to him in the future for updates on these conditions. Randy West, what's the name of your book?
TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies. And if you order it and there's a chapter that doesn't make you go ooh or ah or laugh, I will eat the chapter. Mail me back the pages, I'll eat it and send you a picture of me eating it.
Well, that's a picture we want. There's Randy West. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday, Randy. Thank you so much. Now, I keep being asked, and I'm very grateful for this, about the health and well-being of my daughter, Meredith. My 17-year-old daughter was in a car wreck back in January. She was the passenger, but this was a wreck where the airbags came out, and she was in the hospital for 3 nights. We go to the doctors regularly. She goes to rehabs regularly, and thanks to you, we got a great lawyer. You told me to get the great lawyer, and I did. The last visit to the orthopedic doctor said you have to go to the hand specialist because her wrist was really bothering her. Her wrist was really annoying her. Well, it turns out she has a bone fracture, and it's a type of fracture that will not heal on its own. They're going to have to put a screw in the wrist of my beautiful Meredith that will be there the rest of her life because of this car wreck by a drunken driver. The drunk driver was such a drunk that in the police report, the drunk driver said, I was drunk while driving. And when I saw that, I said to our lawyer, okay, what's the delay? Check, please. The driver said in the police report that they were drunk while driving. Coming up, you and I are going to find out about the UFO hearings in Congress. Welcome, Sunday Night Live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. It's time for our midnight misfit time or our 9 p.m. misfit time, depending on where you are in our great nation. Coming up in just seconds, a report on the congressional hearings on UFOs. Finally, the information we've all been waiting for. And now, Dr. Dave Iser, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Fixing broken window panes and then breaking them again. Killing hornets in a giant nest at the house.
And a two-day project that has turned into 2+ weeks.
Dan and Becky Gaffney update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, good evening. You and I should always stay in touch. Here's my email address, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I get every email, and I answer every email. Not some pretentious hack. I'm a not pretentious hack. So it's waltermsterling@gmail.com. I have a spectacular webpage. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. There you will learn about the secrets of Florida stories. You'll learn about our podcast, which by federal law, every talk show host in America is required to make a podcast, even though most of us are terrible at it, have no interest in doing it, are forced to do it by corporate. And even I, who own this show, am forced to do it by corporate, I think. All right, welcome. Dave Scott is an expert on UFOs, and it's interesting about being an expert on UFOs, because if UFOs don't exist, then you're an expert on myth and fantasy. But if they do exist, your expertise is going to grow and become progressively valuable. What has taken place this week in Congress about the UFOs?
Well, there's a big battle, Walter, and thank you for having me on again. A big battle going on between the violence that we heard coming out of David Grush's mouth, the whistleblower about UFOs, in Congress a couple of weeks ago. And there is a big, this battle really has people wondering if there is some sort of secret government working behind the government to keep secrets from those who are elected and those who are actually running the country.
What do you think, Dave Scott?
I think personally that there is a subgenre that is not wanting this subject to come public because of technology, because of the advancements that the military-industrial complex can really bring. And, Walter, I think what we're seeing here is we're actually seeing the first public battle royale between the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us about so long ago, and elected officials who say the American people have a right to know whether or not they're being visited by aliens.
You mentioned that David Grush talked about violence. What are you referring to? Was he beaten up? Were other members of his staff beaten up, threatened?
He and his wife have been threatened. He is on record with Congress for that when they pushed him for a little bit more public information. He said he would get into that behind closed doors. He also made a very wild statement that he talked about closed doors behind, which he provided alleged notes for, where he said and he believed that people in the American government, as well as researchers, have been murdered by the U.S. government for getting too close to this subject.
Many people, a few people, and close to the subject in what way? How are they getting close to the subject? What are they revealing?
He said that there were a number of people who have lost their lives regarding this, and he did not go into detail with how close that they were actually to the subject, but he said that there are many people who do not want this subject coming out, and in fact, this is where he got into the whole fact that both he and his wife, who reside in Colorado, are and have been threatened since he came out as a whistleblower. And what those threats are, I don't know. I've talked to sources who are a little bit closer to him. It deals with finances. It deals with his reputation in the military. It deals with his family. And that's all I've been able to learn.
Dave Scott, do you watch Star Trek Strange New Worlds?
I have never watched an episode of Star Trek or X-Files.
Well, X-Files is a very different thing. And in fact, on the speculation about UFOs on the X-Files, my friend who played Cancer Man, he said, look, people from the CIA have told me you have no idea how close you are. But Star Trek Strange New Worlds is the best version of Star Trek since the original. Now, we had this distorted, bizarre Star Trek called Discovery that was the first one to go into production a few years ago. That was horrible. That was like the worst Star Trek, because the whole premise of Star Trek starts with the captain being in charge. And on Discovery, Star Trek Discovery, they had a different captain every 2 weeks. There was no captain. Everybody on the crew got to be captain because this was the most woke version possible of Star Trek. And they had every known distortion of gender and every known distortion of alien. It was horrible. But this, Strange New Worlds, is the best version of Star Trek. And Dave Scott, as my friend, the best gift I can give you is, for gosh sakes, you gotta watch this. It's only 12 episodes. You will have the best time. The new version of Star Trek called Strange New Worlds. You're going to go on vacation next week or the week after?
The week after. I'm going on vacation.
Can you share with us where you're going?
Well, I'm not going to be chasing any monsters or anything. I'm going to be taking the family out on a vacation to go find some fun things for my son before hockey season starts. And we get into the winter draws where it gets into areas of cold here that you don't want to know.
How many children do you have?
I have 3 children and 1 grandson.
How old are your kids?
24, 20, and 10.
So we're close. I have a 20-year-old and an 11-year-old and an 18-year-old. So I have an 18-year-old, but I, like you, I have a 11-year-old and a 20-year-old. And you know what that means? It means we have a long way to go, Dave. We have a long way to go.
I know. Retirement at 60, my friend. Retirement at 60.
See,
that's all I know.
My dad figured it out. My dad retired at 50. And I know. And my mother worked because she wanted to, but my dad stayed home. And he retired at 50. I will not be retiring. I will be dying on the job, but of course that's very romantic and something I look forward to. Dave Scott, how do we get in touch with you?
You can get in touch via info@spacedoutradio.com or my website, spacedoutradio.com.
Spacedoutradio.com. Thank you, Dave Scott. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Amber Heard.
I'm just literally on the verge of like a mental breakdown.
On Sterling on Sunday, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney with tales of living in an old house, I mean a real old house, with our 8 kids.
A couple of weeks ago, we decided we were going to paint the foyer, add a nice little pop of wallpaper on an accent wall.
About a 2-day job.
Yeah, no big deal, right? Well, it's a big deal when everything in the house is cracked, the plaster's falling off the walls, and you need to keep going back to the store to get yet another thing of caulk.
So it's been over 2 weeks. We're just now finishing. Couple of highlights. There was a broken window pane. I decide to fix it. You wanted me to fix it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I could just paint right over this trim. It won't matter if I don't do anything to cover that window because it's already cracked. It's been cracked since we moved into the house, so it might be time to replace it, right?
I measure it. I go to the store. They cut the piece of glass. I bring it back. I break it.
In about 30 seconds.
I go back to the store. They cut me another piece of glass. I come home. I start to install it. I broke it. I was so embarrassed. I said to Becky, will you please go to the hardware store? I couldn't show my face. I couldn't show my face in the place again.
But the funny thing was, they knew who they were cutting the glass for because they remembered the measurements. It had only been, what, you know, maybe the whole thing was an hour of going back and forth for the third piece of glass.
We needed a new gallon of paint because we didn't buy enough. So I took Becky to the paint store and we bought another gallon of the paint we were using, basil.
Right, because, you know, basil
was the color.
Was the name of the herb color that we were picking for the wall, except for the fact that it was actually supposed to be rosemary. I had confused my herbs.
Got your herbs messed up there.
I did. So we bring that gallon of rosemary home, and we're painting. We're putting that on the trim, and a kid knocks over the entire gallon of paint right in the foyer.
It's a $65 gallon of paint right
okay,
there.
Okay, but I was on it. We just immediately started using the well-covered floor because, of course, I had them tape everything within an inch of its life. We just used the paint right off the floor, used some scrapers, threw it back in. We didn't lose too much.
In the end, it looks great. Speaking of within an inch of its life, two full cans of hornet spray for one of those big paper hornet's nests right in the front of the house.
Because as we were going in and out of the house trying to paint the front doors that were still not finished with, one of the children spotted the largest hornet's nest I have ever seen in my life.
I get
life.
Up there and empty that thing. It's one of those things where you can stand 20 feet back. We filled that baby with hornet killer and it didn't get them all. I had to do it a second night.
While you were out there on the roof, I brought to your attention the fact that we had another broken window upstairs that had been broken for 10 years. 10 years.
Right. This time, I did get it cut without breaking it, fixed, finally.
Right.
It only took me 10 years.
10 years. And the reason I know it was 10 years was because I was in the hospital when the kids were at home, and our daughter decided she was going to sit on the windowsill, and she put her butt through the window the day my 10-year-old was born. So that's how we can indicate that that window is broken for 10 years. But as Dan did so kindly point out, there was a storm window on it. So the breeze that was blowing through for the last 10 years right next to my head in bed was just a very slight breeze.
I didn't see it as a priority.
Right, because it was on my side of the bed. So here we stand. We have one front door back on the house. You can still see clean through. One front door. We only have a little bit more work to do, and then we'll be done 2.5 weeks later.
So let's try and finish the project without you confusing your herbs.
Billy Datz, the Datz daughter. Congratulations, Billy Datz's daughter. She graduated from the Clouster County Institute of Technology. Congratulations to the Datz family. We got one of the kids out of the house. And there is Charlie Green and his handsome son, John Harper, Phil Luker, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, Nate Tester, and Ann Knupp. I love the dishes that Ann Knupp makes. And Dee Wells, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. These are the Midnight Misfits.
I like you. I like you too. I like you, like you. I like waking up next to you despite your alarm clock compulsion. I like your weirdness.
I'm not weird.
You alphabetize your soup.
That is my favorite television character. I bet you want to hear that again. Don't you want to hear that again?
I like you. I like you too. I like you, like you. I like waking up next to you despite your alarm clock compulsion. I like your weirdness.
I'm not weird.
You alphabetize your soup.
The one who says she's not weird is a character named Kate Littlejohn. This was on a great television show, a Sondra Rhimes television show called For the People. It lasted exactly 20 episodes, maybe 22. It was on for two seasons. Yeah, 10 episodes, 10 episodes a season. This was a great show. It featured hotness. These were hot prosecutors and hot federal public defenders in Lower Manhattan. It was a great pornography of being a professional in Manhattan in the age of 20s. 20-year-olds in well-dressed, beautifully dressed people eating in fancy sushi restaurants, working on the First Circuit Court, or as it's known among lawyers, the Mother Court. But Kate Littlejohn was a prosecutor. And she was the very best prosecutor anybody had ever seen, an assistant district attorney. She was like the best. Loaded with lesbian scenes with Kate Littlejohn. I have been trying to find out the name of Rebecca Flood's manager. That's the actress who played Kate Littlejohn. Now, this show ended 4 years ago, For the People. I look up on YouTube for scenes from For the People whenever I can, because they feature this actress, Rebecca Flood. Rebecca Flood's a great actress. She's a Broadway actress. But I don't care about that. I care about the fact that these are the hottest lesbian scenes I've ever seen.
I like you. I like you, too. I like you like you. I like waking up next to you despite your alarm clock compulsion. I like your weirdness.
I'm not weird.
Oh,
the alphabetizer soup.
You're weird. You are weird. I have got to get that manager because she has to come on this show and explain her career, because she should have the hottest career ever. This is Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WAL.
I like you. I like you, too. I like you like you. I like waking up next to you despite your alarm clock compulsion. I like your weirdness.
I'm not weird.
You alphabetize your soup.
It's time for a secret message that can only be decoded with your decoder card. You get your decoder card at waltersterlingshow.com. Click on the Midnight Misfits, and you'll get your decoder card. Here's the secret message. Ready? 9-8-7-N-K-Z! Exclamation mark. Beryl Kravitz, did you get that? D. Wells, John Kelly, Rosemary Furlong, did you get that? Mark Cavullo, Ann Knupp, Rebecca Canner, Ron Layton, did you get it? All right, once more. 987-NKZ! Exclamation mark. That's the secret message for tonight.
I like you. I like you, too. I like you like you. I like waking up next to you despite your alarm clock compulsion. I like your weirdness.
I'm not weird.
You alphabetize your soup.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Drunk Lesbians. Today we have Ashley Brass again.
That's not my name. But that's what's happening.
Can you imagine if your last name was again?
Can you say that again?
What was that? That wasn't what I had planned.
See, we are
already tipsy.
Already tipsy, as we are now doing part two of Wynonna Earp, all the way hot scenes.
It's so hot. Way hot. It's way hot. Why hot is who I ship.
As we've learned last time, Ashley apparently thinks that Wynonna and Nicole should be together.
Don't tell me that you guys don't think Wynonna is gay. Don't tell me that. Let's watch.
Have you seen the show Wynonna Earp? Well, I mentioned seconds ago that Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, the captain of Star Trek has a girlfriend, and the girlfriend is the actress who plays Wynonna Earp, and you got to see all of these shows. So much to do. I'm Walter Sterling, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Fallon.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
All right, you don't fit in. You're not normal. That's why you and I are listening to the radio right now. Normal people don't listen to the radio at this time on Sunday night. But we're different. We're introverts. Our greatest joy is when somebody says, the plans have been canceled. I'm like, oh, thank God the plans have been canceled. Coming up, you and I will talk about the horror show that I experienced with PNC Bank. But it could be any bank. They're all pretty much the same. Plus, yes, there are people stupid enough to leave the baby or the dog in the car in August. Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
How many times must I tell you? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain coming up later on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about fare beaters, token suckers, and a lost colony of homeless people living in the New York City subway system. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the transit police. So when I was hired in 1987, the NYPD basically was three different police departments. You had the city police, the transit police, and the housing police. You took one test, and then the day before you got hired, you went downtown and they read off a list where you were going to work. And we all went to the same police academy, but what would happen is, after the police academy, the city cops would go to their field training units, and the transit and housing cops would go to their little police academies. And transit cops had a tough job. I mean, down in the subway, it's hot, it's humid. We used to call it the steel dust ballroom because of the train on the tracks would pull up the steel dust, and they were always coughing up mucus. You had rats down there the size of raccoons. There were a lot of homeless people living down there. And I remember one time they sent us later in my career for a one-day training thing of how to survive in a subway tunnel. And I got to tell you, it's not what I thought it was. They march us into this tunnel, and like every 100 yards, there's like this blue light with a lever. And you go up to it, and if you pull that lever, it shuts down the power on the tracks for, I think, 3 to 5 minutes. But if you don't get back on that phone and tell them to keep the power off, guess what? That train's coming, and if you're standing in the tracks, well, oh well. Like I said, you got a lot of homeless people living down there, and before Metro cards, you used to purchase these things called subway tokens, and you would drop them in a slot that would unlock the turnstile for you to proceed into the subway. Well, the homeless people would place their mouths on top of the slot and give a heavy suck and pull the tokens out and resell them for half the price. Or what they would do is they would take rat glue and put it on a string and shove it into the slot and extract the coins that way, and they would sell them for like half price at a bodega. But what would happen is the rat glue would seal up the token slot. Transit cops had a lot of unique challenges that city cops didn't. You had space cases where people would get pinned between the platform and the subway, and then they had to stick airbags between the train to get them out, and then the only thing keeping them alive was the pressure between the train and the subway car, and unfortunately they would die after they pulled them out. People getting hit by trains, people getting electrocuted or getting body parts blown off by touching the third rail. It was a unique skill set to be a New York City transit cop. Sometime in the mid-90s, what the NYPD did was they merged the city, housing, and transit police all together. So we became one big happy family where it was easier to move around between the departments. Right out of the academy, you went to one of the three and you didn't have to roll over to the other one. So if you want to know more about my NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
You know, I love doing this show because I just learned so much about the New York City subway system that I never knew, even though I spent most of my life living in New York City. I never knew all of the things that Vic Ferrari said. Vic Ferrari writes great books, and you could get them at his Amazon store. Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, giving us cop stories. I love it. Barry in Utah, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Barry.
Yeah, hi. Now, you mentioned before about the secret messages that we hear on shortwave radio, and they have them on CD. What's the name of the CD? I'm in the mood to buy it.
CONET. CONET. The CONET Project. CONET. It's the CONET Project, and there are many, many, many DVDs of these secret signals, which are sent out all around the world on short wave, and no one knows exactly where they come from. No one knows exactly what they're for. It is speculated, Barry, that there are ways that different governments around the world communicate with their spies. They give them a secret message, and it sounds like this. All of them are different. Thanks for the call, Barry. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I'm live. No one else is live at this time, but I am. Do you know why? Because I'm cutting edge. I am cutting edge. This is a cutting edge show. Frankie Reds, Ken Forbes, Jennifer Hydrant, Eddie Valdez. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And Greg Moucheri, oh my God, is he such a great friend of the show? Got us on WSB in Atlanta. Then they lost their sense of humor. Now they have a real program director, Ken Charles, not the clown that they had. Now they have Ken Charles. And Ken, it's time for you to step up and put Sterling on Sunday back on WSB. Welcome. You and I should stay in touch at all times. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear this incredible story from an expert about people who still leave their damn dogs in the car in August and their kids in the car in August. Unbelievable. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 good minutes.
Sterling on Sunday. Rachel Bellis is the head of local affairs for PETA. And she has messaging for us about dogs and heat. And her key message is don't let your dog overheat. But Rachel Bellis, I have to ask you, how many stupid dog owners are there? How could anybody be so stupid as to leave their dog in a 100-degree car or in the backyard when it's 95 degrees outside with no ability to get inside?
Well, every year PETA receives dozens of reports about dogs, cats, and other animals who have suffered and died of heat-related deaths. In 2022, there were 57 animals. This year alone, we are up to 69, and we know that number is higher because a lot of these deaths go unreported. So that is why PETA is reminding everyone to keep our animals safe and healthy during the summer months. Never leave them unattended in a car and never keep them chained in the backyard.
Are there some breeds more susceptible to suffering in the heat?
Yes, there are purebred dogs who have been specifically bred to have the flat noses, like Frenchies, Bulldogs, Boxers, Pugs. These dogs already have a very hard time breathing because their faces are so smushed. There isn't a lot of airway. And so these dogs are twice as likely to suffer heat stroke as other breeds. So any kind of physical exertion, stress, too much exercise is really very dangerous for these dogs, especially in this extreme weather.
Go over that a little bit again. That was fascinating, Rachel.
So we call them breathing impaired breeds, or BIBS, and these are dogs whose noses and snouts are shortened and pushed so far back against their skulls that there isn't enough space to accommodate their normal anatomical features. So sometimes we hear these dogs and they're making noises and people say, oh, that's so cute, but it's actually that they're having a really hard time breathing. These dogs can have a lot of health issues as well, and they are specifically bred for this. And imagine breathing through a straw. That is basically what these dogs are experiencing every day of their life.
This is one of the arguments against heavily breeding and type of dog. Is that right?
Right. These dogs are specifically bred for this, but we are against any kind of breeding of dogs because our shelters are absolutely filled to the brim with unwanted animals. And so there's really no excuse to breed a dog or to buy a dog from a pet store or a breeder. We always encourage people to go to your local shelter when they're ready to bring an animal into their family.
Rachel Bellis is the head of local affairs for PETA. She is based in Virginia. How do I know the dog is suffering? What should I look for?
Symptoms of heat stroke include heavy panting, lethargy. Some dogs will have a dark tongue, vomiting, disorientation, lack of coordination, even seizures. If your dog is experiencing these symptoms, or if you see a dog that's experiencing these symptoms, get them to a cool area or in the shade. give them some water, try to get their temperature down by putting cold water on them, not freezing cold water, but tepid water, put it on them, trying to get their temperature down, but also get them to a vet to make sure that they're okay.
When somebody shows up with an almost dead or dead dog, shouldn't they be immediately arrested? Are there any states where the owner could be put in jail?
In most states, they could be charged with cruelty to animals. And so people really need to be aware of that. It only takes a few minutes for a car to get to 100 degrees on a day that's not even that hot, like a 78 degree day. So people can be charged. And we've had here locally, we've had people that have been charged with cruelty to animals for leaving their dog in a hot car.
That's Associate Director for Local Affairs, Rachel Bellis of PETA. She's based in Virginia. If I'm in a parking lot at Walmart and I see a dog in a hot car with the windows all rolled up, what should I do?
Well, even if the windows are slightly rolled down, it can be a death trap for dogs. So the first thing you do is call 911. Take down the make, model, color, license plate of the car. If you're in a shopping center, like you said, in a Walmart, go inside the store, try to have the owner paged. Do not leave the scene until you know that dog is safe. If you can't find the owner and if law enforcement isn't responding, then we have to do what we have to make sure that dog gets out of there safely. But like I said, never leave the scene until you know the dog is okay.
It's amazing to me that this year there have already been deaths of babies left in the car. I can't even imagine where those brains are that would leave a baby in the car. More often than not, I promise you, if they were breathalyzered, those owners, they'd all be drunks. Only a drunk could leave a dog in a car like that.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't realize how hot it can get, or they think, well, I'm just running into the store for 5 minutes. I have the window rolled down. The dog will be fine. But that's not the case, because on a 78 degree day, the car can get up to 100 degrees in just minutes. And on a 90 degree day, which is temperatures that have been very common daily that we're experiencing here on the East Coast, a car can reach up to 109 degrees. In the last week, I've found two instances where dogs were left in hot cars. And so it's more common than we think, but I just beg people, especially during the summer months, leave your animals at home. Don't take them on errands with you. Just leave them at home where they are the safest and the healthiest.
Well, don't leave them at home chained in the backyard.
Right. Leave them inside where they are cool and safe. Don't leave them in the backyard. Exactly.
How lucky you and I are to be able to talk to Rachel Bellis, PETA's Associate Director of Local Affairs. What a fantastic amount of information you've shared with us, Rachel Bellis. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday.
What do I need to do to get through to you? I'm Brad. You're upsetting me again this week. We very specifically state our contest rules on the air, but you continue to skirt them. Okay, let me repeat. For the learning impaired, you can only win once every 30 days. This is to circumvent the professional contest players who have us and every other station on speed dial. You must be willing to come to the station to retrieve your prize if no alternative arrangements are made. Please bring legitimate ID, like a driver's license, when you come. And please only come during business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. The jock cannot come and open the door for you to get your prize on Sunday. He doesn't know where the prizes are anyway, since we have to hide them from the jocks, or they'll steal them. They're a seedy bunch, or they wouldn't be in broadcasting. Now that we've cleared that up again, we'll get to the topic of the day after the news and the weather. Brought to you by Circuit City.
Push it, click it, press it, lick it, tune it in, turn it on. This is what you watch it on. Any way you work it, integrate your circuit at the city. Circuit City.
Come to the place you're welcome. Technology with a heart. Welcome to Circuit City. Great service, the state of the art.
The future at your fingertips. All the right connections. Punch a key and you can see the new video directions. We can turn your car into an audio star with the one you want for the way you are.
At Circuit City, trained sales counselors are one of the reasons we get higher customer satisfaction ratings than any other specialty home electronics and appliance chain.
I've got today a gizmo for electric machismo. Some amplitude for the radical dude. We're tuned into your attitude. Come to the place and welcome.
Greg Stocker, thank you so much. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help. Oh, now it's 10 seconds. You said 10 seconds before. Tom Langmeyer, welcome. Daryl Parks, thank you so much for being with me this week. This is Sterling on Sunday.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.